Let's start reading tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Notice verse 18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What I want to do tonight is preach a message out of these verses, verse 13 down through verse number 18, and just talk about these words for just a few minutes this evening. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Father, for the fact that yet a little while and he that shall come and will not tarry. I thank You, Lord, that I'm a part of the church that You're coming after, the bride of Christ. Some of them, Lord, are currently have bodies out there in the cemetery. And Lord, they're going to be raised one day because, Lord, You were raised. And then, Lord, we which are alive and remain are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up together with them in the air. And Lord, we're so ever going to be with the Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, You'd make this passage of Scripture real in our hearts, real in our minds. And help us tonight to glean truth that would transform our lives. And God will give You glory for what You do. For we ask it in the name that's above all others, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I thank the Lord for passages like this in the Bible, especially when you have to stand with people that are saying goodbye to their loved ones. Sometimes I think it would be better said, instead of saying goodbye, just say, "See you later." Amen. If that loved one has left this world with a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's really not goodbye. It's just "see you later." Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. I remember years ago when my grandfather passed away and I didn't tell him goodbye. It seemed to bother my grandmother a little bit. She said, don't you realize, honey, he's not going to be here long. I said, "I realize that, Granny." I said, "But I know where he's headed. And I know where I'm headed. And I don't have to say goodbye. I can say, I'll see you later." Amen. And so I kissed my grandfather on the forehead and I told him, "I'll see you later." Turn with me in your Bibles tonight, just a moment, by way of introduction, over to the book of Corinthians, over to the book of 2 Corinthians. And I'll tell you what happened with my precious mother. And this was such a blessing to experience. My mother was told just before Christmas in 2011, just before Christmas of 2011, she was told that she had terminal cancer, that she had 3 months to live without treatments and 4 months to live with treatments. Mom had a good Christmas. She wanted to go home. She didn't want any treatments, and I didn't blame her at that point. And she went on home, and she had a good month. There were times in the month of January I could call Mom. You couldn't even tell she was sick on the telephone. If you didn't know she was sick, we would just cut up and go back and forth. And then there was a day when, I guess just a couple of days before Mama went to heaven, that she lost consciousness. We were just trying to keep her comfortable. And she had been a whole day, 24 hours, without saying anything. without responding to anything. And I asked Mama, I've been over, I was taught years ago that the last thing that leaves a person is their hearing. And I've been over and I asked my Mama, I said, Mama, would you like for me to read you the Bible? And my mother didn't respond. She didn't say anything. My sister was standing on the other side of the bed. And she looked back at me and said, well, Mama didn't say no. Amen? Yeah. So I just went and got the Bible. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to read to Mama? I've offered to read to her. And I tell you, I didn't make two steps from the bed to go get this old King James Bible. And God spoke to my heart and showed me where to start reading. And I started reading in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 7, where it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I went on down, we're troubled on every side, yet not perplexed, or not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I just kept reading. Mama just kept laying there. There was absolutely no response. In verse 16, for this cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I just kept reading. Mama had not responded. She didn't nod her head. I got on down into chapter 5, and I never noticed this before, but there really doesn't even need to be a chapter break. In verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with heavens, with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. I just kept reading. Mama did not respond. I got down along about verse number 6. It says, therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. No response. For we walk by faith, not by sight. No response. I read verse 8. We are confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I read that in my mother's hearing. And my mother said, amen. And Brother Ralph, she said it loud enough that her deaf son could hear it. And the last word my mother said before she went to heaven the next day, the next evening, was amen. She said, I'm confident, yea, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'll tell you what a testimony, amen. What a testimony to the grace of God. I appreciate the fact that Paul said, I've got some words here for you. These words. I wanted to examine these words in chapter 4, verse 13, down through verse number 18, for just a few minutes tonight. Let's look at verse 13. He said, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The first thing I want to say about these words is, they are compassionate words. God said, I want you to know something, church. Amen. God said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, church. I want you to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want you to know that the grave is not the end. If you're here tonight and you're saved, the grave is not the end. If you're here tonight and you're lost, the grave is not the end. I'll tell you, we're going to stand before God one way or the other, amen. And we don't need to believe this junk that's being promoted, that you go into a grave and it's over. Oh no! The soul of man will live on forever and ever. And the Bible, in compassion, God said, listen, when our loved ones die in the Lord, we don't have to sorrow like the world sorrows. We can lift up our head, we can lift up our heart, and we can say, thank God, because of Calvary, we'll see Him again one day after a while. Amen. Bless His holy name. It's compassionate words. God is saying, I love you to the church. He said, don't be ignorant about this thing. Amen. We're going to meet again in the morning. Hallelujah. I like that old song. I'll meet you in the morning. Hallelujah. Yes, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen tonight, church. They're compassionate words. God said, don't be ignorant. He said over there in the book of Hosea, I believe, He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. Listen to me well. I can already tell you this right now. Something happens to me tomorrow. Amen. Right here is where I want my body. Say amen. I told my wife, I said, listen, I said, don't you line nothing up on Wednesday night. And don't you line nothing up on Sunday. I said, it'll wait. They got that stuff to put in you. Amen. It'll wait. Yeah. But when you have my funeral, I want you just to come on by there and that'll be all right. Pay your respects. That'll be all right. But I want somebody to close the lid on that thing and preach, preach, preach. That if you ever want to meet that man again, you must be born again. Yeah. Amen. You say, preacher, that would be disrespectful. I don't believe so. Amen. I believe it would honor the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, I've known some saints of God that still walk with God. When I preached their funeral, I knew I had to preach the gospel or they'd set up and get me. Amen. They wanted people to hear about Jesus. They wanted people to come and meet them in their new home. Amen. Nothing wrong with saying some kind words about a saint of God. But I tell you, we ought to preach the gospel because it's the compassionate words that will change the hearts of people and change lives. That you saw not, even as others which have no hope. I'll tell you something, church. We had my mama over there at Community Baptist Church in Jonesboro. If I heard this once, I heard it a dozen times, Brother Houston. People come by and they say this. Y'all sure are handling this awful well. Y'all sure are handling this awful well. Let me tell you something about somebody's handling an awful well. They just believe the Bible. Amen. I just believe, hallelujah, that when mama breathed her last breath down here, she breathed her first breath over yonder. And I believe if I was to sorrow like this world sorrows, my mama might slap me in the back of the head. She'd say, you know better than that, boy. Amen. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. Compassionate words. God said, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Listen, let sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You know and I know. You've been around long. You've been around funerals where somebody left no hope. They left no testimony. Let me tell you something, church. You be fair to your family. Amen. You let them know where you're headed. Amen. Don't you leave any doubt. Amen. As to where you're headed when you leave this world. I tell you what, my granddaughter's here tonight and my grandson's here tonight. I don't want them to come by a casket and shake their heads. I don't know where Papa is. Amen. I want them to be able to look up at people and say, I know where my Papa is. My Papa trusted Jesus. My Papa's in heaven. Amen. My Papa loved the Lord. Amen. My Papa was one of the redeemed. Compassionate words. Secondly, they're conditional words. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Let me just say it like this. The Apostle Paul wanted us to understand that just anybody can't pick up these words and take them for themselves. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it here. Look in verse number 14. The Bible said for, what's that next word? If. They're conditional words. In other words, the condition to be able to find comfort in these words is you must be a believer. Amen. They're conditional. Amen. Everybody. This doesn't apply to everybody. So in other words, if a person doesn't believe, then just go ahead and sorrow because you don't have any hope. But if we believe, hallelujah. There's two kinds of people in this church tonight, right here in this building. Believers and unbelievers. Oh, you say, preach, there's a lot more kinds than that. That's the only two kinds that matter. Believers and unbelievers. Tonight, it's conditional. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus
will God bring with Him. Hallelujah. I tell you tonight, I thank God that we can meet that condition. How many believes tonight that Jesus died and rose again? You say, preacher, I believe that. Well, let me ask you something. Have you acted on that? Amen. Because to believe it with your mind will let you live just like you've always lived. But to believe from your heart will make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It'll cause you to be born into the family of God. Amen. The word believe in the Bible carries a lot more weight than the way we use it in the English language today. In the English language, they say, well, I believe it's going to rain. Well, it may rain and it may not. Amen. Brother John, I believe we'll get that room finished this week. Well, we may get it finished and we may not. Amen. The word in believe in the Bible is talking about an absolute and total dependence. It's coming to God. It's laying it in His hands. It's saying, Lord, I know I'm committing it unto You. Here's my soul. There's no hope for my soul unless Your blood is on my soul. Amen. And I'm giving it to Jesus. Conditional words, if we believe. Let me just say something to you tonight. Listen carefully right here. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's the truth. It's hard to find sometimes anybody that dies lost. Am I telling it right? Somebody breathes their last breath and all of a sudden they're a good person. Well, you and I that believe the Bible know this. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many of them that way. And surely, it's not the majority of those that are dying that are entering into heaven. It's the minority that's entering into heaven. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. You remember out there and, oh goodness. Out there where Gabby Giffords got shot. What state was that in? Arizona? Was it Arizona? Where Gabby got shot? And I'm not for that. Don't get me wrong. Don't take what I'm about to say, but they had a memorial service. Gabby made it. Some of the others lost their lives. And some of our politicians got up and read excerpts out of the Holy Bible in that memorial service. He said, now preacher, what are you going to say? I said, well, thank God somebody read a verse somewhere. Say amen. Amen. But let me tell you something about the Holy Bible. You either take it all or leave it alone. It ain't right to read an excerpt in a memorial service and then turn around and say it's all right for a man to hook up with a man or a woman to hook up with a woman. It's all right to kill the babies. We either take it all or leave it alone. If we believe, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them which sleep in Jesus, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. I tell you, if God comes right now, there's not a doubt in my mind, not nary doubt in my mind, that over yonder near Damascus, Virginia, we lowered my mama's body down in a casket, down in a hole in the ground, and there's not one doubt in my mind that my Lord's going to go by sis and get her up. And I tell you, we're going to meet in the air with the Lord that loved us and gave His life for us. We're going to meet. But you see, everybody in that cemetery ain't getting up. Sister Jane took her precious father over here the other day and laid her father to rest. You say, now listen to me carefully, right? You need to understand this. The body lays to rest, not the soul. The soul returns to God, the one that gave it. Amen. The saved man, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The unsaved man, absent from the body, is to lift your eyes in the region of the damned, in a place called hell. These words are compassionate words. These words are conditional words. These words are consecrated words. You say, preacher, look at verse 15. What do you mean? To be consecrated means to make or to declare something sacred, inspired, inerrant, infallible. You see, let me just say this tonight. I'm not trying to pick on anybody or any religion, but the Bible does not teach a general resurrection. Are you listening to me? It does not teach that we all get up together. Amen. The dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive. That is the rapture of the church. Praise the Lord. We're going to be caught out. But I tell you, there's coming a day when the wicked dead will stand before God. The church will stand at the judgment seat of God. But the wicked dead will stand at the great white throne judgment. Two different judgments. Two different peoples being judged. Here in the Bible, if we believe, they're consecrated words. You say, preacher, where did you get that? Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you, I love this, by the word of the Lord. God said, you've got my word on it. I tell you something I found out in life. There's some men, thank God, you can take their word for it. There's some men you can't take their word for it. But I'll tell you this, there's a God in heaven, you can always take His word for it. Amen. Always. His word is a consecrated word. It's sacred. It's inspired. It's inerrant. The Bible said the words of the Lord are pure words. I am sick and tired of this generation that's always trying to fix the Bible. Let me tell you something right now. Church, listen to me. Listen to me. They write a new one about every month or so. But I'm going to stay with the old one. I'm going to stay with the old book. The Word of God don't need to be fixed. You and I need to be fixed. And if we'll get in the Word of God, it'll fix us. Amen. See, some people think when they get saved that the fixing's done. Can I say it like this and say it kindly? When we get saved, the fixing has just begun. There's a process of sanctification. There's a man sitting back there that's over 80 years old, and I will guarantee you, you could have an interview with him. He'd look you in your eyeballs and say, my father is still working on me. Amen. He's still working in my life because he loves us. And we're not there yet. Amen. We're going to get there. They are consecrated words. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Oh, I thank God when I open my Bible, brothers and sisters. I thank God. And listen, these 26 years of being saved, there's never been a professor been able to cause me to doubt that what I have right here is the precious Word of God. I've seen good preachers, what I thought was wonderful men of God, give up on the old King James Bible. But I tell you, by the grace of God, if every one of them gives up, I'm going to stay with the book. He said, preacher, you'll never, never have a church full preaching like that. Well, then that'll be all right. But I believe we will have a church full preaching like that. These people out here getting tired of getting their ears tickled, getting tired of getting a little sermonette on Sunday and want to hear what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, there's people in this church that love the Bible and love the Lord, and they want their children, they want their grandchildren to hear the truth. They don't want some sugar-coated lollipop. 3 points in a poem and a joke somewhere in between. They want the Word of God. I like these words, do you? These words, my friend, these words that I've read in your hearing, they're compassionate words. They're conditional words. They're consecrated words. Let me give you this. He said, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. How many believes that? Well, you reckon some of these modernists, brother, call up on heaven and say, all right, Lord, we deleted a verse right here. Make sure you delete it over yonder. They can call on Him if they want to, but He ain't deleting anything. And He's not adding to anything. It's complete. Say amen. And it'll complete you and I. I want y'all to look. Listen, you say, preacher, you bragging? I'm bragging. I want y'all to look. Look at this bench right here. Look back there in the back. Look over here at the young people. I'm telling you what, all of them haven't sold out. All of them don't want to hear something just to tickle their ear. There's some that still want to hear the truth of the Word of God. Help. Hallelujah. They're complicated words. Boy, I tell you what, I didn't know all this was in there, but it is. Number four. Not only the compassionate words, these words, they're conditional words, they're consecrated words. But let me give you this. They're conquering words. How many likes to be a winner? Ask his kids if pastor likes to be a winner. Hey, pop that ball up the other day. You ought to see me on one of them. Somebody hit a line drive. I thought I had it for sure. It hit me in the hand and it popped up and I looked like a clown trying to juggle something. Amen. But I still missed it. Amen. Brother Fred, hey, pop the ball up, be about me to you. There was a day, brother, when I could cover that much ground just like that. My mind could still cover it. But the rest of me can't catch up with it. Amen. I still like to win. Well, guess what? Guess what's good about being saved? Being on God's team. Being in God's family. Everybody wins. Hey, no losers. Amen. We're a winner either way. If we go or if we stay. Either way, we win. They're conquering words. You say, preacher, where did you get that? Listen to what the Bible said. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I like this. I don't know how Mr. Death operates, but don't you reckon that Mr. Death hung around there with Jesus? Don't you reckon Mr. Death would like report in to Mr. Devil and say, we still got him. 24 hours, we still got him. 48 hours, we still got him. I can see Mr. Devil calling him up the next day and say, what about it? We lost him. Hallelujah! Yeah. As Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. You say, preacher, what's significant about that? He got up. You say, I believe that He died, but I don't believe that He got up. You don't believe the gospel, and you'll never be saved till you believe the gospel. He died. He was buried, but He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I used to tell him in prison, you sit in prison, you can't preach like this. You can't say, you know, talk about Muhammad. You can't do that. You just can't do that. If you do, you ain't going to get invited back. You're going to get thrown out. So I figured out ways to say things without saying it. But they know exactly what I was talking about. I'd look at them old boys, a lot of them Muslims, and a lot of them this-ism, and that-ism, and this-ism, and that-ism. He said, I'm the Bible Way Baptist Church tonight. I'll preach against isms if I want to. Say amen right there. Amen. Yeah. But in the prison, you just couldn't do that. It's full of religion in the prison. Yeah. By the way, Kingsport is too. Amen. That outfit I read to you about this morning that don't preach on hell, they're religious. Yeah. Right. And they're going to bust hell wide open. I used to tell them old boys, Brother Houston, I'd look at them and say, you can trust somebody if you want to that couldn't get themselves up. But Brother Mike, I'm a country boy from Tennessee. I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. Amen. I mean to tell you, I just believe that's good common sense. Amen. If he couldn't help himself, how's he going to help me? If you can find his bones, how's he going to raise my bones from the grave? He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Perfect love casteth out fear. You say, preacher, are you afraid of dying? I can honestly say no. East Carter's Valley, we travel it a lot right now. I was going to get my wife to school. They went ahead and had school that morning, even though they were predicting a snowstorm. Sometimes the snowstorms come, sometimes they don't. It was about 3 inches of snow. It fell in 30 minutes. I was going right out of Virginia into Tennessee. There's a curve. And here come a man trying to make it up the hill in a two-wheel drive GMC. He said, preacher, how do you know it was a GMC? Well, when I first started looking at that grill, it was about from here to the back door. But the last time I looked at it, it was right there, coming right in my door. I was in a Ford Explorer, and he drove me, he hit me in that door, drove me into a telephone pole, totaled that vehicle. He said, "Preacher, why would you tell that story?" Here's why. I can tell you with Judgment Day honesty, there's only one thing that I had that day, and that was peace. I mean, peace like a river. I knew if I was checking out, that'll be all right. I was fixing to check in a better place. I'll tell you something right now. You say, "Preacher, do you think our faith will be tested?" Read the book of Peter. I believe God loves us when He tests our faith. Amen. God loved Abraham when He tested his faith. Isn't that right? God blessed Abraham. Abraham passed the test. I'll tell you something about genuine, born again, Holy Ghost faith. It'll pass the test. It'll pass the test. It's conquering faith. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Then let me give you this. Not only is it compassionate words, conditional words, consecrated words, conquering words, but they're comforting words. Look at it here, verse 17. "Then we which alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." How many believes we could be changed tonight? I mean tonight. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The Word of God said, "At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law." I love this. But, I love that. "But, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Comforting words. "Preacher, you afraid you won't make it?" No. I know I'll make it. You say you're boasting. Sure am. Boasting in Jesus. Boasting in the one, Brother Joe, that cannot lie. Boasting in the one that redeemed my soul. Not just from hell, but from the grave. Amen. These are comforting words. The Bible said, if you believe this, therefore, my beloved brethren. This takes us back to the morning message. "Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Old devil will jump up on your shoulder. Some of y'all don't know it. And he wouldn't want me to say anything about it. But Brother Fred's experiencing a great deal of pain in his hip. He's just about past go in his hip. He's got that running down the back of his leg. He said, "Why would you even mention it?" "Because he's a blessing to me." You know what he is? He's steadfast. He's unmovable. He's always abounding in the work of the Lord. He said to me this morning, he said, "Preacher, I hope you don't expect me to come out on visitation. I can't go." I said, "No, brother, you can't go, but you can pray." Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what it ought to do. It ought to make some of us ashamed that can go and won't go. Help us, Jesus. Victory. They're comforting words. You say, "Preacher, where do you find comfort?" Well, a couple places. Let me just tell you real quickly. Number one, Brother Sam, who I'm going to be with. You know who I'm going to be with? I'm going to be with Jesus. Are you looking forward to being with Him? If you are, then you've talked to Him today. If you are, then you've walked with Him today. If you are, then you've loved on Him today. You've worshipped Him today. If you're looking forward to being with Jesus, that ought to comfort our hearts tonight to know the King is coming. But then secondly, now I like this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, saith, because they knew Him not. The Bible said, over there in the book of Hebrews, yet a little while, and He that shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Amen? The Bible said, beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear, it shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, hallelujah, not only am I going to be, Brother Eddie, with Him, but thank God Almighty, I'm going to be like Him. Hallelujah! I'm going to get to be just like Jesus. You say, preacher, does that comfort you? Oh yeah, it sure do. You know, how many of you would like to have a good prayer request for your pastor? Would you raise your hand? How would you like for us to pray for you, pastor? Let me give you a good prayer request. When you pray, hey Lord, if You would, would You make our pastor more like Jesus? Lord, don't give up on him. Just keep working in his heart. Just keep working in his life. Just keep it waking him, making him more like Jesus. And one day I'll step off in His presence. Hallelujah! And the work will be finished. Amen. Until then, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. Tonight, these are comforting words. Wherefore, God said now, don't just take this Bible and close it. Put it on the coffee table and forget about it. He said, Brother Kyle, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. You know what my prayer would be tonight? That these words would bring comfort to the believer and bring conviction to the unbeliever. Let me say something to the unbeliever and I'm done. If Jesus were to come right now, let me just do it like this. God just put this in my heart. If Jesus were to come right now, and you know what Mama knew, you'd say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If Jesus were to come right now, and you knew what Mama knew, how many knows you'd be checking out of here? If you'd be checking out, just raise your hand like I'm checking out. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully. If you're not saved, you'll be sitting right where you're sitting right now. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I do. I believe it. And let me just go ahead and say this to you. I was preaching to the kids the other night. They're kids to me. I know they're young men and young ladies. But I'm 53 years old and I remember when I thought that was ancient. Amen. I was telling them there's going to be two surprises. Big surprises in heaven. Brother Ralph, we're going to be surprised by who is there. There's that old murderer that we saw on the 6 o'clock news. That old mangy beard, that mangy hair, teeth rotted out from drugs and all that mess. Amen. There he is in heaven. You want to know why he's there? Because he got born again. And then they're going to look around. All this church world's going to look around us and say, where's old so-and-so? You see, it's not about sitting on a church pew. It's about having Jesus in your heart and in your life. I believe that in the great city of Kingsport, Tennessee, when Jesus comes, there will be many left on the church pew. You see, we're living in a world where the mentality is, oh no, preacher, they'll all be on the bar stool. You're wrong. You say, preacher, you don't have any Bible for preaching like that. Ask these young people if I've got Bible. In that day, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And Jesus, our Lord's going to look at them and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You say, preacher, you shouldn't preach like that. That preaching don't bother saved people. Not one bit. Because you know it's the truth. Jesus didn't say to the born again, depart from me. He said to people that had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. These words are comforting words to the believer. But remember the condition, if we believe. A friend of mine, if we don't, my prayer is they would be convicting words. Somebody in this auditorium would say tonight, I don't want to be left behind, preacher, when God takes y'all home. I want to go with you. As far as I know, there's nothing else that has to happen on God's calendar. He could come at any moment. How many believe that?
Amen.
At any moment. The Bible said if we believe that, he that believeth purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Comforting words. These words. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I've done my best, Lord, to give my precious people what you've given me. Lord, no doubt if Jesus doesn't come very soon, some of us will have to go out there and carry some of our loved ones to a cemetery. Lord, I pray that we would remember these words, that we would comfort one another with these words. God, it's my prayer tonight, if these words don't bring comfort, maybe, Lord, a man or a woman, maybe an older man or an older woman, Lord, we can hang around the church all of our life. But Lord, we still must be born again to make it into heaven. God, I pray tonight, Lord, if there's an older man, middle-aged man, a young man, any woman outside of Christ tonight, that the thought of Jesus coming and them being left here for the judgment that's to come upon this world, and then the judgment that will come upon their soul at the great white throne. Oh, dear God, tonight, help people to escape the judgment that's coming. Help us as believers, our Father, to be comforted by these words. Lord, I'm glad the grave is not final. I'm glad, Lord, tonight there's victory in Jesus' name.